Please turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 28, verses 6 through 9. Psalms 28, verses 6 through 9. Blessed be Jehovah, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Jehovah is my strength and my shield. My heart hath trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him. Jehovah is their strength, and he is a stronghold of salvation to his anointed. Save thy people and bless thy inheritance. Be their shepherd also, and bear them up forever. This evening, our songs will be centered around where our strength comes from. Our strength cometh from the Lord. In verse 7 it says, Jehovah is my strength and my shield. Let us begin our hour of worship.
Number 432, How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts? Let's stand for this song, 432.
How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word the choicest rules impart to keep the conscience clean. To keep the conscience clean. Is like a sun, a heavenly light that guides us all the day, and through the dangers of the night,
comes to lead our way, comes to
supplemental songbook. You'll have to take your supplements out for this one. Number 19.
Thank you. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the blessings that you've given us in this life. We thank you for today that we can come here and remember your son's sacrifice on the cross and the blessings that we have in that. Help us that our worship here and our songs of praise to you will be an honor to you, and that our hearts will be in the right places. We thank you for all the young people that are coming here, and that we can hopefully be a good influence on them, and they can be an encouragement to us. Help us as we go through the week that people will see that you do live in us and that we are the kind of people that you'd want us to be. We ask now that you forgive us of all our sins. Help us to live more righteous in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 792. 792. We will sing this through twice.
No soul, my eyes are dry, my faith is low, my heart is sad, my prayers are cold, and I know how I
Yeah.
Next song is not going to be in your hymn book. It'll be on the screen, A Passion for My God.
Oh,
please mark your songbooks in the supplemental songbook. Number two, Are You Weighed Down? This will be the song of encouragement after hopefully Kenny's mini lesson. For that, we'll sing, it's not in the songbook, In Christ Alone. Got a lot of literature up here. Let's stand for this song. If you want a song to hit you square right between the eyes, this is that song.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, his solid ground. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of hope, what depths of peace.
Tonight's scripture reading will be taken from Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. Again, that's Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
I hope most of you have your Bibles out, and I'm going to ask you to turn over to the Old Testament, if you would, to Deuteronomy 6. We're going to look at some verses in there in just a moment. I anticipated Matt saying some things about the length of my lesson tonight, but I realized that I'm the one that started that because I said to you this morning that that's what I was going to do, so I've got to hold myself to it, and I'm going to do that tonight. But today, being the day that it is, when we do have several who are visiting, and many of them are coming because they are bringing a child to school, and many who are here that are regularly members here are considering school, and we're all making some transitions. That's just part of life. That's the way life goes, and that's the way life is. Some of you in this audience tonight are anticipating sending your young son or your young daughter to school tomorrow for the very first time. And very probably your clothes are laid out, your backpacks are ready, your pencils are sharpened, and all of the things that come with the first day of school. And that's exciting. That's very exciting, and you'll want that to happen when they're seniors. It won't quite be that way, but you'll want that to happen nonetheless. But there are transitions, and then some of you are soon to, your children will be going to middle school. What an experience, middle school. You know, I remember middle school, but I don't know that it was my favorite time, but I had some good memories from middle school. There's a lot of transitions in middle school. And then I thought I was pretty big shot when I got into the ninth grade, into high school. And then, of course, your senior year comes fairly quickly, and high school is over, and those years are really gone. And then, as is the case with many of you in this audience tonight, you are going to college, and you are changing, and you're making transitions. And those transitions are similar not only for the students and for those of you who are in those transitions, but it's transitions for your parents as well. And all of us today, at least many of us today, are thinking about that. You know, I've got kids in school now. I mean, it's pretty quiet around my house and has been for a week. I've tried to make Beth mad just so she'd holler at me, just so there'd be some noise in the house. But that hasn't happened yet. But I have mixed feelings about that, quite frankly. I miss my kids being at my house. I can get to them pretty quickly, as all of you know, if I need to. But there's quite a bit of transition going on even for Beth and me. But those things are good, and that's what life is all about. It's making those transitions. And I just want tonight, I want us very quickly to look at, in an abbreviated way, a couple of passages. First, in Deuteronomy 6, a passage that Moses, as he speaks to the children of Israel, and as he gives them the wisdom that comes from above, it's the wisdom that God wanted them to hear. He would say this in verse 1, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." These are familiar words to us. The last week for me and for my wife has brought a time of reflection. We're pretty much done with our kids. I don't mean by that that we're never going to talk to them again. But pretty much what we've tried to do or what we've hoped to try to do is pretty much done. And they're, for the most part, out on their own. And so it's given me a time to be reflective. And what I have understood is that being a parent's the hardest job I've ever had. And for all of you who have been parents, you realize that it is a difficult job. It is the most rewarding job that I've ever had. It is also the most frustrating job that I've ever had. But it's a job that I've lived to tell about, and I'm grateful for that. I'm still alive. But it's a job and it's a responsibility that God gives to those who are parents. And it's a responsibility that parents think about every single day. Even if your parent, if your children are grown, even if they have children of their own, you think about your children. You may think about your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, but you think about them because they are precious to you. And you understand that you have responsibilities toward them. And as Moses writes this, and as he says things to these people as they're soon to go into the land, he wants them to understand how critically important it is. I think he writes to the parents specifically, to those who would have children, but he writes for all, and he makes some statements here that ought to be reflective for all of us. He says in verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. He repeats that in the passage that Corey just read from Matthew 22. Moses doesn't repeat it, but Jesus repeats that when the Pharisees ask him the same question. What is the greatest commandment? He said, well, you need to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, Moses says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. I am impressed that the first place these words need to be, if I'm going to teach my children what kind of person God wants them to be, is they've got to be in my heart. And they've got to be in my heart, and my heart needs to be a heart that loves God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all of my strength. So the first question that all of us ought to ask ourselves, those of us who are parents, is have my children and do my children see in me a heart that loves God with everything I have? Or is there something that's taken the place of that? Or is there something that's displaced that in my life? I'm going to tell you what Moses says is, whatever you're going to tell your kids, it needs to be in your heart first. And it needs to be planted deep within your heart. And so, in these reflective times that I have had, I've asked myself, over the past 22 years, that there has been a child living in my house who is mine. Have I said in my actions, have I said to my kids, more important than you is God? And because of that, you are important to me. And because of that, I have tried, at least to some degree or another, to show by my example and to show by my faith that I am seeking to serve God to the very best of my ability. And so the first statement that we need to make and first statement we need to think about tonight is it in our hearts, and have we taught our children diligently? Have we been willing to discuss things that relate to spiritual matters with our children? I don't know all the applications of what Moses said to the children of Israel. I don't know everything that he was trying to say to them, but I know what he said. He said that as you live your life, everything that's about your life must show that you count God to be the most important thing in your life. You have to love him with all of your heart. And I think when we talk about problems that may be in families or problems that may, really in every facet of our life, the one issue and the primary issue that goes back to every single issue is, does a person love God with everything he has? It's about that all the time. It's about that in a marriage that's having difficulty. The issue is not the specifics. The issue is, does the husband or the wife love, do you love God with all your heart? And if you do, then what that means is, then you're going to conduct yourself as you should before your husband and before your wife. That's the nature of love. It's the nature of this godly love that Moses told them they should have, that God instructed them to have. And so, all of us need to be reflective about that. And for those of you who have an opportunity to either continue doing that, and all of us to some degree or another do that, Or whether it's time that your kids have moved into a different phase. And many of you who are visiting with us tonight, your kids are at a different point. Your kids are where my kids are. They're still going to come and see me, I hope. And they're still going to come and talk to us, and they're going to call us, and they're going to text us. And if they tweet us, I won't get it because I don't do that. But ever how they can communicate, we'll take it ever how we can get it. But the issue is that in a lot of ways, it's now up to them. And I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to help them when they call and when they say, "Dad, what about this? And what do you think about this? What do you think I need to do? What do you think the Lord would want me to do? This is what I think I need to do. Do you agree?" I hope there continues to be that. And from everything that many of you have told me who have children that are old, that's going to continue. I want that to continue. I still call my parents and ask them for advice. But the essence of their life now is, what do I know I ought to do? And am I willing to do it? And so, in part because two of my own are in this audience, and in part because many of you in this audience are encountering the same things that I'm encountering, I want to read something that the Apostle Paul wrote to a young man that he considered a fellow laborer and really a son in the faith, as he called him. I'm reading from 2 Timothy 3. And I want you to listen, and I'd like for you to follow along in your Bibles, but I'm beginning in verse 14. I just want to read two verses, and I'd like for all of you to read this with me. This is the reminder that Paul gave Timothy as he wrote this letter. He says in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Boy, this is a great passage that just summarizes the essence of faith and what we've tried to do with our children, isn't it? Paul says, Timothy, you need to continue in the things which you've learned. And they're not just things you've learned, but they're things you've been assured of. You've talked to people about these things. And you know those who have taught you, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Some of you in this audience tonight are very soon, possibly within hours, are going to, really, your parents are going to leave. And what they want to say to you is this. They want to say to you, "You remember that you've been taught these Holy Scriptures from your childhood." And what we hope that it's produced is a faith that will sustain you throughout your life. Back in Deuteronomy 6, in verse 24, the passage tells us that the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. Young people, do you know why your parents have spent the last 18 years or so of your life talking to you about these things? It's because it's what's best for you. It's for your good always. We've not done it because we're trying to punish you. We're not done it because we want to hurt you. We've done it because we love you with all of our heart. And because it's what is best for you. And that's what you want to tell your son or your daughter who's starting school for the very first time tomorrow. That's what you want to say to them. Now, it may be hard to explain all that to them, but that's what you want to say. And for your son or your daughter who's starting middle school, that's what you want to say. We've done this because it's what's best for you. It's going to give you the basis of life for the rest of your life. That's why we've done it. And if you have a child who's beginning to starting high school, you just want to make sure they understand that. And sometimes the application of those principles that you've taught them is going to be difficult for them. I realize that. There's going to be mistakes that are made, but you want that foundation and those fundamentals to be strong, so when they make those mistakes, they're going to know, that's not right. And I have been taught better, and I do know how I ought to act. That's what we're looking for. In this generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. Well, it's pretty hard for me. This whole week has been pretty hard for me not to think about my kids. But I've thought about many of you who are dealing with these same transitions. What do we do? What are we trying to help our kids do? I tell you what we're trying to help our kids do. We're trying to help them do exactly what we're trying to do ourselves. To love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength. And if it's in our heart first to do that, then it can be, and it ought to be, in the heart of our children. Well, you can do it. It's going to be hard sometime, but you can do it. And remember that whatever the Lord tells you to do, it's always for your good. And that's what you need to keep in your mind. Well, I want us tonight to go to God in prayer. And I want us to especially keep in our minds those of us who have children and all of us who are children who are beginning this school process. And I want us to ask God to help our kids as they live their life of faith. Would you bow with me, please? Our good Father, our children are some of the most precious gifts you've given to us. We love them, Father, in a way that's indescribable. And even when we try to tell them, it's difficult. But we're grateful for them, and we're grateful for the opportunities that have been given to us as parents to try to influence them for good. While each and every one of us, Father, who is a parent, have made numerous mistakes. Mistakes that, in some ways, continue to haunt us and continue to give us pause because we realize that maybe we should have handled things differently. Maybe we should have lived differently. Maybe we should have set a better or a different example. But Father, we understand that those things are now in the past. And as we commonly say and as we commonly think, what's done is done. And we ask now that in a very special way, that you look into each of our hearts and that you would bless our children, that you would give them the strength that they need to stand for you in a world that continues to deny you and to deny the things that you would have them to support and to believe in. We're grateful for our children, and we pray that you would continue to bless them, be with them. We pray, Father, that the things that we have tried to teach them throughout the years we've had them, that you would help those things to take root, help them to be established in their lives, help them to continue to live by those principles, not because it's what we've taught them, but because it's what you've commanded them. And we pray, Father, that when the difficulty of those decisions come in their life, that you will give them the strength and the courage to say, I am going to live for the God who made me. And I'm going to do what's right because it is always in my best interest. We pray that you'll help these parents who are about to leave their children. We pray that you'll bless them and comfort them and help them to not be anxious, help them to be confident in the decisions that their children will make. And help us all, Father, to put our trust and our confidence in you. We pray that our children would continue to remember the things that they have been taught even from their childhood. And may those things continue to produce the kind of faith with which you would be pleased. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a spiritual need tonight that we can help you with, that's why we're here. We want to help you in any way that we can. Relationships are important. Earthly relationships are important, but spiritual relationships are even more important. And the greatest one we have and can hope to have is the one we have with the God who made us. And we have that through His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you and assist you in that relationship, would you come as we stand and as we sing?
Are you weighed down with cares of life? We
table has been left prepared.